Hey everyone, welcome back to Google Workspace Recap, where we review everything new to Workspace every week. I'm Jesse Nolan, my co-host is Steve Larson, and we're here to help you keep up. This week's Nerdy Shirt of the Week, supporting fellow creators, IT creators, is from Lauren Systems, who's one of the top business tech YouTubers, and someone I've personally learned a ton from. And check out their YouTube channel at Lauren Systems. And for those of you who are not on the video side of things, it's Groot sitting at a computer typing away, and it says, "I am Root." Trying to show it off there. Lastly, shout out to our sponsor, Jamf. More on that later. Steve, good to see you back in the chair.
Yes, feeling a little bit better. I think kind of got rid of everything yesterday, finally, or this morning. Still, this morning wasn't that great, but feeling generally better. I've not even come across Lauren Systems. You mentioned them on your shirt there, but I don't think I've ever seen one of their videos before, surprisingly.
Definitely check it out. Tom is somebody who is just constantly educating on everything from networking to cameras to various routing systems, firewalls, hosting, computers, tech. Yeah, all business tech, all just really awesome videos. And he's an awesome dude, too. So, big fan.
Yeah, cool.
For those of you who are new to the show, I have been doing this for the last several weeks where I bought a whole bunch of shirts from my favorite creators trying to, you know, help support other people like us. Cool. Plus, also, I'm not going to conferences, or I haven't been recently, so I ran out of cool shirts. I needed to buy some new nerdy shirts. So,
talk about one of the big upcoming conferences that you will be attending, or is that too early to make it formal?
I guess we can make it formal. It is Workspace related, so breaking news, both Steve and I will be meeting in person for the first time ever in the history of the show and ever.
Well, history of ever,
It's the history of ever. I mean, technically, we were in the same room at the Google meetup years ago, but
I never met them.
We will both be attending Google Next, and now we have to start planning and figuring out how we're going to do our broadcasts from there, maybe do some live stuff, maybe do some floor interviews, maybe do a meetup for other friends of Workspace Recap that are going to be there. I already know of, I don't know, probably 5-10 people that that we regularly interact with you know, in the community that are going to be there, so we'll have to get together and hang out.
Yeah, I'd like to organize an Airbnb with a few people, so I don't know if anyone else is attending. I would think that would be interesting.
There you go. Hit us up in the comments, Twitter, website. Let us know.
I think if we got maybe 4 or 5 people together, in addition
to
us,
I bet we can get Jeff to sponsor a meetup, a Workspace Recap meetup. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we could even just do a, you know, schedule something at a location without it actually having anything paid or formal. You know?
Oh, for sure.
Just say meet up here at a certain time. So do that at least. But yeah, otherwise, you know, kind of, I probably should have been wearing a gas mask here today because of all of the smoke that we're getting from California. So we're now getting it here in Chicago today.
Not from California. It's not coming from us.
No, from Canada.
Don't blame
Canada,
this one on us. Canada. It's usually
not
us,
Canadian,
but this one's not.
Yeah, Canadian. The Canadian wildfires here.
Up north.
Up that north. Way. Yes. Yes.
Not here. No.
Sorry.
It is. We are entering into wildfire season here in California, but it's not from us this time. Yeah. Although I do have all of my filters for my air purifiers ready to be replaced here. But that's crazy that it's still sticking around, still coming down. I lost track of the fire. I didn't even know. Is it still burning?
Yeah. I guess so. I mean, it just says. That's what it says. It's still happening. We didn't get that red color like New York did, and you know the photos that New York was sharing the other week. Ours is just like, you know, white haze kind of a look and feel. So, but I don't know. They say the air quality is not so great, but I love the smell of it. It smells pretty great. So,
for those who have asthma and other breathing issues,
I guess,
yikes.
Yeah.
No, New York Times 3 hours ago, Chicago and Midwest air quality declines as Canada wildfire smoke lingers. So interesting.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Break out your COVID masks, the N95s and such. Close all the windows. Yeah. I've got like whenever there's a word of wildfire in California, it's like wildfire protocol. Close all the windows and doors, turn on the air conditioning, turn on all of the air purifiers to, you know, make sure that they're all running automatically. And I've got a bunch from Wyze that do a really good job, and they have an actual a wildfire filter inside of it. And so that's how we breathe. And when there's literally ash falling from the sky out here, So
why is Max air purifiers interesting?
They do, yeah, yeah. They're not too expensive. They're like $150. But cool. I like them because I can control them from my phone. So if I'm sitting at my desk, it's like, oh, power them all up, make sure they're all already on. Usually, I like to just keep them on auto anyway. But I can monitor breathing conditions and things like that, and it makes living during wildfire season so much more of a nice experience. So
interesting.
Yeah, Wi-Fi connected, etc. Good stuff.
Okay. Yeah. They've got a few things. I didn't realize the extensive collection of products that they had there, actually.
Oh, they've
got tons. I know their camera category.
Oh, I'm a big fan of most of Wyze's gear. I don't have necessarily everything, yeah. But I have, let's see, doorbell, cameras, obviously, yeah. Floodlight with cameras, sprinkler system, alarm system.
Vacuum.
I don't have the garage door opener because my garage door is already open. I don't have the vacuum because I have a Dyson, so I don't really have a need for that. What else do they make? I don't know. I got a whole bunch of stuff from them. I don't have the Wi-Fi network because I've got Ubiquiti powering all Ubiquiti gear powering my home network, so didn't need that there. But yeah, a whole lot of fun stuff from them. Big fan. It's affordable tech that is affordable enough that when it occasionally does break, I just buy a new one. Yep, yeah. Scale's pretty cool too. It's just, you know, brings decent, easy to use Wi-Fi capabilities
like,
to
it's like smart, good yeah, products. Smart home devices, smart devices, tech. Yeah.
Yep, yep.
I've got a Wyze gun safe, which is
yeah.
Interesting. Yep.
And they have, you know, watches and headphones and things like that that I don't have because I've already got, right. You know.
Yeah, I think my parents have the phones, or sorry, the watches, the watches.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. They're really affordable. You know, they don't do half the things that the Apple Watch does, but for $25 or $40 or something like that, why not?
Yeah, the main thing was just like some fitness tracking that they got them for.
Yeah, I've got their lighting, light bulbs, things like that. I got a lot of good stuff.
I have to take a closer look at the site and check that out.
Let me know when you have questions. I'm sort of an expert.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, I was having issues with some of the Arlo cameras that I bought. And those things were pretty expensive.
I moved away from Arlo. I don't like their interface. The reliability was having issues. And for, you know, $200 to $300 a camera, it's just
expensive.
Not worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, the reliability on them, too, with the battery life and, I don't know, connectivity just hasn't been that great.
Yeah. Yeah, I used to use Arlo for everything, but then, you know, a couple of other competitors came out and the market shifted, and it's just not worth it to pay that much money for a camera when a $50 camera will do just fine.
Yeah.
I can, you know, cover my house and cameras with the same price of a handful of other brand cameras, so.
What are I was going to say, let's jump into the topics there. So we added one from last week that I forgot to include. But in terms of the silent releases this week from the recap post, we have two. And then it looks like we have five from last week and then one from before. So rounding that out at six. And so the first one there was some adding some flexibility to email collection in Google Forms. You can also gain consensus from collaborators quickly with voting chips in Google Docs. And then in terms of the announcements, the one announcement that we missed the week before, that was that Google Meet expands language support for closed captioning and translated captions. And we've got the inside scoop on that one, which you'll want to listen to once we go through that, because not going to be available much longer to enterprise customers. So that will be changing at some point in the future here. So we'll tell you all about that later on. Launching in beta is going to be the ability to programmatically write the working home locations with the calendar API. You can also now start to enhance Google Vault file retention capabilities with Google Drive labels. Pretty cool one there. You can now respond to access requests for Google Workspace files more efficiently.
Finally.
Next, you're able to monitor additional Google Meet hardware issues in the admin console. And then finally, the use of companion mode to check into a Google Meet conference room is now available so that everyone can know you by name. So that's pretty cool. I was using that a lot over the last year. So that's pretty cool. And then also we have an update Yeah, we have an update on the Drive for Desktop client. Version 77 is out. I'm still waiting for it after a week. Always seems to be pretty take a while to get the updates on Drive for Desktop. They take their time rolling that one out. Yeah. And then in the news, we just really have, it looks like just one this week, which is the Pixel Tablet Q&A article here from 9to5 Google, and talking about why Face Unlock, why no Face Unlock or Nest Cam, more third-party app updates and upcoming features. So it looks like a little article there talking about some stuff on the tablet. And waiting for Jesse to unbox the Pixel tablet that you have. Still waiting for that to...
it's coming. Stay tuned.
...to happen.
I got to...
I think that's probably going to be my next Google product. Use up my Google Store credits on that one. I was holding off for the watch, I thought, but I think I'd rather have the tablet, honestly. I don't really have a small portable computing device. I carry my laptop around with me everywhere, and that's pretty much done the job. But I think something like that could be useful.
Could be in the future.
So, looking forward to that.
Yeah, I've got a lot of thoughts about that, and I've been waiting for a device like this from Google for a long time, and it's finally here, and it seems to be really well thought out in how they executed on it from the early reviews that I'm seeing. And you know, my goal is to use it exactly as that, as a center of the home, smart home control, hub device, mm-hmm. which is more powerful than the previous hubs, most of mine, which are just useless at this point. And there are a lot of people actually that are talking about how Google Assistant seems to just be dumb at this point. And hopefully all this generative AI stuff will result in better Google Assistant, because, you know, that is what it's doing, just in text now. Right. So put it in voice and unleash it. Right. Of course, they're, you know, they need a lot more safeguards in place and need a lot more training, a lot more setup. But I can't... It seems impossible to me that Google would not be doing a specially trained AI version of Bard or whatever that is specific for Google Assistant. It's ludicrous to think that they wouldn't be, so I hope that's in the works somewhere, but who knows.
Yeah, the one thing that I'm disappointed in is that whole presentation demonstration, about Google being able to call and make appointments for you. I mean, that hasn't even come out yet, has it? That's not even available.
You Pixel people don't
to consumers.
Have it? Pixel users?
I don't know. I mean, is it available? I don't know. I've not.
I saw, I was going to make a reservation for a restaurant in LA, and it had the option to do it on the web, I think, or through Google Maps.
Yeah, that's different.
That was specifically for
that.
I
think that's just using OpenTable in kind of a window there.
It wasn't just calling any hair shop to make a book an appointment for you or whatever. So, yeah, I don't know whatever happened there. But Google's making a lot of changes. They've also apparently just came out today. They killed their AR XR headset, and now they're just focusing on the OS for it. So, Google's doing a lot of reshuffling and a lot of figuring everything out. But that's what's happening. And wanted to also give a big shout out to our friends at Jamf, who are sponsoring this episode and who are helping us to bring these updates every single week. You've heard me talk about them before, but as a reminder, for anyone who supports Apple devices alongside your Google Workspace, Jamf is a must, because they can essentially help you to manage or secure your Apple devices so that they perfectly integrate into the IT Google ecosystem. Google and Jamf integrations let you manage Chrome for safe browsing, achieve zero trust using Google Identity, and cover about every other aspect of using Google on an Apple device. It's really sleek. They also tailor device management and endpoint security to different organization sizes and industries with special workflows and solutions so that everyone can benefit. I'd be surprised if you haven't heard of them already, but if that's the case, definitely check them out at Jamf, JAMF.com/workspace recap. We even got our own custom URL, so pretty cool there. And sneak peek coming down the road for the Jamf users who are current Jamf users and people who are interested in learning more about Jamf. We're going to be doing a Jamf certification episode, just like we did with the Google Workspace and the Google Chrome OS certification teams, kind of digging into how the certification was set up. And there might be some giveaways of access codes to take the certification for free. So definitely, if you're interested in doing that and haven't taken it yet or are interested in learning more about it, stay tuned. More information on that should be coming probably in the next couple weeks, I hope. Yeah, I've been having a lot of conversations about MDM and controlling access, and Jamf just keeps on coming up in those conversations. They're really an excellent option for that. So,
yeah, I'm not taking a look. I did the Jamf stuff probably now, 5-6 years ago. It's been a while since I've had a look at that product.
I think it's changed a lot in that time.
I can imagine.
Generally, things do change quite a bit in 5-6 years, especially in the tech world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I guess you're going to have to attend the session and take the certification again. Or take the certification.
Might just do it if it's free.
There you go. Yep. There you go. Well, I'm sure we can work something out for you.
All right, let's look at the updates that we have for the week. The added flexibility to email collection in Google Forms. So when you previously were creating or modifying Google Form and adding the responses section, form creators really only had the option to toggle the collect email address option as on or off. And what that meant is if it was enabled, when users filled out that form, their email was automatically collected with their form submission. And what's going to be added now is they've introduced the ability to choose between the following email collection options, which is verified email collection. So that was kind of just the automatic email collection, which really was only if you're signing in with a Google account, that's all that was. And then we have responder input, so previously known as a manual email collection. And then we have a do not collect option. So verified collection option will now require a user to click a checkbox to confirm which email address is being collected upon submission there. And a nice little animation here. And not so little, but not so big. just the right size as the bears would say. What was that story? The kid story with the brown with the bears.
Goldilocks.
And just Goldilocks and three bears. Yeah, just the right size, right?
Yeah, just right.
That's just right. Yeah, that's fun. Next, that the ability now to gain consensus from collaborators quickly with voting chips in Google Docs. So you can now use this kind of voting chip option here to allow people to vote on different list items that you have within that Google Doc. And this is only going to be available to select Workspace customers, so Business Standard, Business Plus, Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Plus, Education Plus, and nonprofit customers only. So a few of you will be left out with that functionality. So
I feel like this is one of those features that everybody was already doing anyway, and so they just built it properly.
what do you mean in terms of...
Like, people would just put emojis in to count for votes. Like, we've done that on chat, we've done that in Slack, and so they just built it in to directly.
Right. Well, yeah, on chat, that was pretty easy. You could, allocate certain icons for that with voting. Yeah.
You just tell people, hey, use this icon or that icon or whatever. Yeah. I mean, it happens very organically, especially in organizations that have that already as part of their culture, I suppose. So this just takes that a step further. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yep. All right. Then moving into the main updates of the week, we'll cover that one that we talked about that was
This was weird. It was in the RSS, but it wasn't in the actual recap blog post. Exactly, in the recap blog post. So I totally missed it last week when I was going through. I had it in the notes, but then I had the blog post open in front of me, and I was going off of that, and so just totally missed it. Like, there was a blog post before, it just wasn't in the recap post.
Right.
Don't know.
I wonder if they added it into the recap post now.
Could be. We have seen them do that in the past, but I recorded on Thursday of last week and released on Friday.
Yeah.
Wednesday or Thursday, something like that.
Nope. Still not in there. I just pulled up. I pulled up. It was the June 16th recap post, which I'm looking at, which...
I don't know.
Weird. I don't see it in there. So, yeah. Well, we'll talk about it now.
Go for it.
So that is the ability to use, you know, well, the expansion of language support for closed captioning within Google Meet there. So this is adding in support for the following languages for the live translation, which is French-Canadian. Web-only support there. Support for mobile is coming soon. Indonesian, Polish, Romanian, Thai, Turkish, and Vietnamese. So they've also added additional languages for... So that was the closed captioning, sorry. So that was closed captioning support for those languages there. And then translated captions. So being able to translate spoken English into the following: Dutch, Indonesian, Turkish, and Vietnamese. So those newly supported languages will now be demoted as beta there, as with the beta tag, as they continue to optimize performance on that. And then certain languages will have the beta tag removed. So those will be Dutch, Italian, Japanese, Korean, Portuguese, and Russian. Those are kind of fully fledged translation options there for captioning. And the ability to use this, this is going to what they say is here: translated captions are available for meetings organized by Business Standard, Business Plus, Enterprise Starter, Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Plus, Education Plus, and Teaching and Learning Upgrade customers. Closed captions are available to all Workspace customers and to users with Google accounts. Now, that is going to change, however. That is what is, that's the news. So what they don't say in this article is that soon in the future, this live translated captions feature will transition into the Duet AI SKU add-on for Google Workspace customers. So that means that you will only be able to get those live translated captions if you have the AI SKU add-on, which, as we talked about before, $30 per user. There is an initial, I think we didn't talk about though, there is an initial discount being offered for like early adopters of that, which I think is, yeah. So, but we didn't talk about the percentage because I think we talked about those probably will be.
Yeah.
So that I think they are offering a kind of 20% discount on that. And let me just make sure.
I still can't believe that they're going to move features that are currently available into that SKU. It's just, stop
yeah,
it.
Yeah. 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 Hopefully that's the only functionality that they move into there. That's the only one that they talk about in the FAQ article here. And when I talk about FAQ articles, it's kind of something that not everyone has access to, but nothing that is too hush hush, just kind of info that they just haven't publicly mentioned just yet. So that 20% discount will be in place until September 1st, 2023. So if you are looking at that as an option for your organization, that is available for anyone looking at that on a one-year commit or longer. And that kind of summarizes that update there. I'm trying to see if there's any additional interesting info on the article here. I think that's kind of it. So that add-on did become available June 12th for kind of pre-order until it becomes GA. So if you are looking at that, that is available now, I think through a reseller or through kind of going through some sort of request form with Google, if you're direct, for example. Next, the next update here that we have is the beta release of being able to programmatically write working locations with the calendar API. So this will give you that ability to do what it says there, to define working locations with the API. I presume that you know, this is going to be available in GAM. So I think for those GAM users out there, that's probably the easiest implementation of this functionality. And it looks like it will only be available to certain Workspace customers. So it will only be available to Business Standard, Business Plus, Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Plus, Education Fundamentals, and Education Plus customers, as well as the Education Standard, Teaching and Learning Upgrade, and nonprofit customers. So really, I think it's just really anyone that has access to the working location functionality, which makes sense if you're only able to use the API for that, if you have access to the feature. So that's that. Looking at rollout for this one. So this is part of the developer preview program. So if you are looking to use that, make sure you have signed up and apply to join the developer preview program for your organization. And I think rollout on that, the rollout pace, so that really isn't there's no kind of time on that, because it is just saying it's available now for eligible Workspace editions. And same thing with that previous live translated captions. I didn't mention that, but that is available now as of June 13th, when that article or when that update was posted. So forgot to mention that for you. Next is the Vault file retention capabilities being expanded to be able to use the Google Drive labels. So that metadata is now available within the Google Vault product. So you can you can create labels to apply to those files in Google Drive, and now you'll be able to use custom retention rules based on Drive labels. So you can set those more fine-grained controls of your Vault retention based on Drive labels. And you can have a label with multiple options, for example, and have nested and conditional applications of overlapping and distinct rules. So pretty useful functionality here. And actually, most of the updates this week are pretty
really
good.
Solid.
Pretty solid one. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what I was thinking. I was kind of going through that list. It's like, pretty good ones. They're not just more emojis, for example. my favorite update of all time.
No, threaded replies isn't your favorite update of all time.
Oh, I mean, probably the least favorite of all time. But
Of course.
The rollout pace on this one, this is on an extended rollout, potentially longer than 15 days for visibility, starting the 20th of June for both wrap release and schedule release domains. This is going to only be available to Business Plus, Enterprise Essentials, Enterprise Essentials Plus, Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Plus, Education Standard, and Education Plus customers. Again, those with the Drive label functionality. There's a little, there's some links to getting started there with labels and setting up retention rules that use labels. So get some good, helpful links to kind of explore on that one if you're curious how to leverage those.
Super helpful.
Yeah. Next update we have here is, unfortunately, an update with a relatively small animated GIF. So apologies.
Well, the text is really large, so they compensate for that.
This one is, like, I think I forgot to mention it, but responding to ACID requests for Google Workspace files more efficiently. So there's a new file access experience to make it easier for file approvers to respond to pending access requests across Google Workspace. So currently what was happening was that when a user requests access to a file, the approver receives that email with the option to share the file or decline the request. With the new update here, the users can review and respond to requests from within the file. So approvers will see a notification dot in the share button. And if they have pending access requests there, and a new banner at the top of the sharing dialog box will appear there. So you of course can continue to respond to requests through existing emails that are sent. This kind of just gives you some added capabilities here to respond to that request and see that when they occur.
This is one of those times where I need the Google Docs team and the Gmail team to get together on this and say, if you have already accepted the request in the document, automatically archive the email so that I don't go to my inbox and go, why is this person requesting this? I already granted it to them. Now I just have more emails, my inbox.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I wonder, but aren't the email requests for access to, are they dynamic emails? So
they show that it's been approved? It's still going to show in my inbox.
It's not.
I still have to open it to see that.
When you open up the email, will it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you open up the email, I do believe that it will show that it's already been granted, if I'm not mistaken. But I still have the email there. I still have to take action on it. And if I don't recognize it, I do have to open it and see that it's already been done.
Yeah.
So get on it, Google. Yeah, actually, that would be, that'd be an awesome functionality there.
I would. Yeah, I mean, these are the things that, you know, you think that's what makes, you know, systems and computers really intelligent, right? Is that kind of level of integration. And that's the thing, like, it's...
And that's why we're using, you know, system to rule them all. That's why we want to stay inside workspace.
Right.
It's because those things are possible, but they're not happening.
Like this, right. I still see this whole, like, AI and smart intelligent systems. It's just still not really there. It's just
getting closer-ish.
Well, the reason why is because it all has to be programmed by someone. Yeah. Someone has to write it. Yeah. You have to write the code for it. You can't, you know, just have the computers figure it out for themselves and say, systems kind of connect together and figure it out yourself.
Yeah.
When you hear about, you know, these systems that are, you know, they say, the systems are learning, you know, live and as things happen. Well, no, they're not really. They were programmed to learn and to do that learning. Right. It's not that they're just learning automatically or on their own or, you know, magically. They were programmed to do it, you know. So, yeah, that level of intelligence of computing just really isn't there. It has to be designed by someone and built by someone. It just doesn't magically, like, create things itself. It's been programmed to do that. So,
yep.
I don't know. All right. Rollout pace for this one. This is on our gradual rollout, up to 15 days for visibility starting the 20th of June. Both wrapped release and good release domains are going to get that at the same time. And this is available to all Workspace customers as well as those users with personal Google accounts. All right, next, some additional Google Meet hardware issue information coming to the admin console. So you'll now be able to use the admin console to detect and monitor additional Meet hardware issues, including things like missing displays, missing controller, missing default camera, microphone, speaker, and whiteboard camera. So those things will start to appear in the kind of list of device and the information like device history, and you'll see kind of when things were kind of coming and going, and maybe give you an idea of, you know, when someone was messing around with that equipment, and you might be able to track down who those people might be, and maybe have a little chat with them and say, hey, what are you doing with the stuff in the room?
And I don't know if you watched last week's episode or looked at the updates from last week, but whiteboard camera is a new category for Google here. They've announced a single entrant so far to the new whiteboard camera category, where it's just a camera that points at a whiteboard, and then you can display that in the Meet for those who are actually using physical whiteboards instead of, you know, something like a Jamboard.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. There you go.
Nice. And now you'll be able to detect if the whiteboard camera is missing. So, actively developed. Active development.
Also included in the update here, they're saying is that admins can now also clear previously set default peripherals from the peripheral tree on the device detail page. Previously, that was only possible by setting a different peripheral as the new default. So admins, a little bit of information here in terms of... some notes here. There's a little note here that most displays with CEC support missing display issue should only be opened when the display is actually disconnected from the device. So yeah, it's a little bit thing there. What is CEC support?
CEC is when the HDMI can control the functions of the display/TV it's connected to.
Okay.
It's very helpful when plugging in, you know, smart TVs.
Consumer and not using electronics control. Yeah. That's what it stands for.
So you can control things like volume, source, etc. Instead of using, it's when you want to use like a smart, like an Apple TV or a Google dongle, whatever they're called these days. Google Chromecast, Google TV, Chromecast, Google TV. I don't know. The name doesn't make any sense to me for that.
Yeah.
But essentially so that you can use those devices to control your native settings on your TV without having to use a secondary remote control or train it or whatever.
Got it.
So. Power also controls power, I believe.
Yep. So a bit of a detailed rollout description for this one. So general info on this is that the rollout begins on the 21st of June on a gradual rollout of 21 days for feature visibility here for rapid release and scheduled release domains for all listed features except display issues. So it talks about display issues support will be rolled out along with the promotion of Chrome M108 to the stable release track. That's expected in the next 6 to 8 weeks. But check out, well, we'll talk about that as we always include the What's New in Google Meet hardware updates. Mm-hmm. So right now, right now we're on the, well, I think, I guess maybe we did. 108 is scheduled for release on the 20th of June. So, you know, I don't know, this was June 21st. So I don't know why they're saying check the release track. Expect the next 6 to 8 weeks, but 108 is supposed to be out now. But I guess it's probably like a drive for desktop kind of rollout pace there, where it says, you know, a week ago it still hasn't come to me, for example. Yep. So it talks about, you know, during the rollout to your org, there may be a short period of time when issue data may appear inaccurate or delayed, so that should resolve on its own when the feature rollout is complete. Also, alert notification support may not be available for up to a week after you first see new issues appear in your organization's admin console. That's expected due to the serialized nature of the feature rollout procedures. So a pretty detailed rollout description there. So if you're curious as to why you're not seeing something, check back into the notes here, and it's probably why. Availability is coming to all of those with Google Meet hardware devices. And then finally, last update here, the main update of the week, is the ability to use companion mode to check in to a Google Meet conference room so everyone knows you by name. So
game changer right here. It's about time. I've been on so many calls, even with Googlers, and I'm like, I'm sorry, there's five of you in this room. Who are you all?
They should have just added comma cheers to the end of the title.
Right. I was going to say cheers reference.
Use companion mode to check in Google Meet room so everyone knows you by name. Cheers.
Exactly. Obviously, the writer of this headline is a cheers fan.
Yeah. Well, so one of the challenges, I guess, here they talk about of joining those virtual meetings in a conference room is that, you know, you don't really know who is in the meeting room, who's kind of attending if you're in companion mode. So there's, you know, 10 people in a meeting room and don't really know who was invited. So for example, you know, the one of the cool features that I really liked about Meet was, you know, when you had 10 people invited to a meet and everyone was remote, you would be able to see, you know, who is missing from, you know, attending that meeting. But when you're actually physically present in a meeting room, you know, you don't really have that ability to say, check in and say, you're here. You're in that room and maybe people do see you, but maybe the main person that's running the event is remote and wants to quickly and easily see, you know, who's in that room and who's not. And that kind of, you know, maybe the camera's just pointing at a couple of people and can't really see everyone in the room for some reason. Mm-hmm. So this really makes it easy to kind of combine that other feature of seeing who hasn't yet attended a meeting for those persons in physical rooms. So yeah, pretty cool feature there. So that room checking will be available by default, but admins can turn this feature off for specific Meet hardware devices or specific users. I don't know why you would, but I guess that is available. That's one of the features that just like, well, why did you make this able to be turned on and off? And other ones are like, why didn't you make it available to be turned on and off?
Right. Use it or don't use it.
I mean, it seems pretty obvious that you would want to be using this. So there, yeah, like I said, there's some a bunch of admin controls for this under your admin console, under devices and Google Meet hardware, under device settings and room check-in. And rollout, I'm just going to see if there's any other interesting users, interesting info here. But I think the main thing is a lot of people don't know what this companion mode is. I've been on a lot of meetings where people are like, hey, what is this companion mode that you're doing? And how does that work? And why are you, where is that? And how do you do it? So it is, I mean, there's two ways you can do it. So you can actually, just from meet.google.com or actually when you're joining a meeting in the browser, for example, just down below from, the join now
blue button.
Icon. Exactly. There is a use companion mode option. And that is how you can enter companion mode. I like to use the g.co/companion URL. And that kind of like takes you directly into companion mode. That's what I do almost all the time. And check it out. I mean, it's really good. I'm typically joining from a phone. At home, I use my phone to the video feed because it's a little bit the angle's a little bit better. I don't have a camera connected to my desktop, and because just the positioning, so I don't want it like positioned right behind me and showing everything behind me. I want it kind of on the side of me and showing that kind of the side angle of things is kind of what I prefer. So I have it on the phone and join a companion mode on the desktop to get the screen sharing and to share my screen when I need to.
Yeah, I was going to mention there before I have, that with all the love companion mode is getting, I really feel like they need to make the join with companion mode an actual button. Like, there's a ton of features here that you can do, especially with this one, which is a game changer addition to companion mode. And to your point, so many people, every time I join with, and it's not every meeting I'm in, but a lot of them I join with companion mode, people are like, wait, what's that? How? Who? Huh? Why are you here twice? And, then I explain it. They're like, oh, that's awesome. I'm totally going to start using that. So I think that Google needs to make that more of a easier,
more prominent option, functionally.
So that when you're joining, because there's join now and there's present, and then just under it should be, instead of just the one line.
Yeah, set, like, almost like text, a yellow icon.
Yeah, oftentimes
so like you've got the blue join icon, like right next to the yellow, like join with companion mode.
Exactly. And so oftentimes when it's just text, like it says other joining options.
Those links. You miss those little hyperlinks.
That's just like the help and support articles. Like, I know how to join my meeting. Get out of my face. Oh, wait. Exactly. There's a new button here. That's a different story. So I think that, Google team, if you're listening, we would appreciate elevation of companion mode to button status.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because, other joining options, to use companion mode, join and use a phone line or cast this meeting.
Yeah.
It's just not that. Right. Yeah.
Unless I think that you need them.
Yeah, I wonder. Yeah, because the present icon is next to the join now, and I'm just trying to see if. Yeah, I think, the present now should just be companion mode. Mm-hmm. I think that's what it should be.
Or you hit present now and it says, do you want to do companion mode or just present or share your screen? It's basically the same thing.
I guess. Yeah, I wonder.
Just merge them.
I wonder how often those buttons, that present button is used, actually.
I don't know.
Versus companion mode. I'm sure there's statistics that they have. But that's what they say. They should swap those two options around. Yep. What else was I going to say about that? Oh, but the one thing I do notice about companion mode, though, is that it is a little bit buggy in terms of the presentations that you're seeing from other people. Sometimes it disappears. Huh. It goes away, and I have to, rejoin. So that I've been noticing recently.
Weird. You use it more than I do. Yeah. I haven't seen that.
Use it a lot. I use it almost every single meeting I'm in, almost every meeting. So I use it a lot. Rollout pace, this one is split between rapid release and scheduled release ones. So rapid release domains will see this starting on the 22nd of June on an extended rollout of potentially longer than 15 days for visibility there. And then scheduled release domains will see this on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility starting on the 24th of July. So got to wait a little bit longer for those features, but almost a month. So, and available to all of those with Meet hardware devices and all workspace customers. And then let's see, we've got one more update here on Drive for Desktop Client, relatively small one, just version 77 coming out. Some improved performance and accuracy within search there. And then also some additional bug fixes and performance improvements. And then just one article here talking about the Pixel tablet.
Yeah, so I will take that away. The Pixel tablet, mm-hmm. I got one, as you saw before, and I am very excited about it. Honestly, I've had the Google Home Hub, whatever the, you know, the 7-inch version, not the Max.
The Nest.
Yeah, the Nest.
Right, the Nest Max.
Not the Max, yep. The smaller one. Both the first gen and the second gen. I never got the bigger one because I was waiting for Google to reinvent the category, bring out the next version. Matter support is coming. Like, you know, the smart home industry in itself is in a precipice of right jumping into a new era of interoperability, you know, cross-platform control, things like that. They're all working together for the first time ever to really make a great smart home experience, regardless of, you know, whether you use iOS or Android or Samsung Smart Things or so on and so forth. And that day didn't arrive. That never actually showed up. And Amazon kind of, they have their, whatever her name is, I'm not going to say it out loud to not trigger everybody. And, you know, she just, it doesn't work that great. And, I mean, Siri, forget about it, not even going to go there. Despite the fact that Apple has a really good smart home ecosystem, Siri's not there yet. And Google Assistant is good, but it's just there for, like, turn on this, turn that off. Like, it's not a whole lot of intelligence there. And what they've done here with the Pixel tablet, and then I'll get into kind of this article, is they've created a device that is really exactly what I wanted in terms of a home hub. And I have to really test out the child, the ability for a child account to be able to access YouTube and what they're going to be able to get on there, because that is what my kids do a lot on the tablet, is look at YouTube videos of rocket launches because my kids are super nerds like me, or, you know, play sometimes an episode of, Gabby's Dollhouse or whatever. Usually they play that on the TV, though. But it's a centralized device in the center of the home. So my kitchen counter actually is in between my kitchen and my dining room, and then you have to pass through there to get to the living room area. And so it's really a perfect central computer tablet screen device. And I've actually thought about putting a laptop there in the past, just an old Chromebook or something, because you need a way to easily access and put in, shopping lists or receipts or order, you know, refills on supplies of, you know, on Amazon or prescriptions or things like that. And what you can do here, and the reason why I never did it with an iPad, is because now you can have multiple users on this device with fingerprint login. So, like, my kids could log in directly to their account, or my wife could log into her account, I could log into my account, you know, my housekeeper could log into their account, and we could all basically just share this one thing. But the amazing thing here is when you put it on the dock, it goes into hub mode, and there you can access all of the smart home things, and it answers, the Google Assistant answers to the wake word, and it's a better speaker than just your, you know, laptop or tablet speakers that you would have on there. And so I think it's really, really a perfect device for what I wanted for as a centralized device there. However, it doesn't have Thread support, and which is the new protocol for the smart home devices and manufacturers all talking and working together. It doesn't have Wi-Fi in the base, so if you take it off the base, you can't use the speaker in the base for anything. It's just a charger and a speaker. It just sits there because it doesn't have Wi-Fi on its own. And so this article from 9to5 Google...
Wait, the tablet doesn't have Wi-Fi on its own?
Of course it does, but the base does not. So there's the tablet, right, and then there's the speaker charger base, right?
Yeah.
And so when you undock it, when you take the tablet off, which is a little twisty motion that you do to take it off, the base is useless. It just sits there because it's for you. It's just a charger, and the speaker is useless without it. Now, when it's on, you can cast to it from your other devices.
So if you include that device in your, like, let's hear everywhere speaker group.
Right. It won't work unless
take it off. Yeah. That then stops working as a speaker.
Well, it'll keep playing through the tablet speakers. I don't know. I guess we'll have to play around and test that. But this 9to5 Google article is Google actually did a Ask Me Anything, like a Q&A about the Pixel the day or two after it had actually come out. So there's a lot of really good questions and answers on here. People had asked why there was no face unlock or Nest Cam, which is, if you're not familiar, the ability to use your Nest Hub as a home security camera. And essentially they said that given the specs and with the fingerprint sensor in there, like they didn't go down that that road because it lacks the specifications needed for focusing and basically what else that they wanted to be able to do it. The narrow width of the front camera sounds a little bit like an excuse that that they right, wouldn't do it, but basically the tablet wouldn't always be on the dock, which is their reasoning here, but you could enable it only when it's on the dock. Like, there are ways around this. I think that basically what is really happening here is Google put out the first draft. This is their, you know, clean slate approach. If you remember historically, yeah. Google had said, screw tablets, we're done with those, we're not interested in those, they suck, we can't figure it out, get rid of it. Something shifted, and now they're back into the tablet game, and this is a whole new approach, and one that I think that we're going to see some other companies starting to copy as well. Because it is really, you know, a great setup, and there are a lot of YouTube videos about others that have built their own custom dashboards. There's a lot of different options out there for custom dashboards, whether you have to program it yourself in terms of a, you know, a web dashboard interface, or if it ties into an app or things like that. And I think that this is really an excellent next step forward, and I can see possibly even Apple adopting an iPad to be able to do these home hub type features out there. But if you're interested in, you know, more questions and answers about this, you can definitely check out this article here. To your point, Steve, it does mention about seamless audio transfer. They say we had to solve some pretty challenging technical problems to get the experience right, from developing new acoustic echo cancellation algorithms that synchronize the clocks across the tablet and dock, to developing new technology to ensure audio moves seamlessly between the devices. I imagine that had something to do also with the Sonos lawsuit, that they lost their ability to do a lot of that stuff, so that's probably involved in there as well. They also say give adaptive brightness a couple days to learn, that it's, you know, just because it sucks on day one, it does not mean it's going to completely suck going forward. So a lot of good things in here, and I think that, like I said before, this is a first shot. This is a first draft, and because it's running Android and it is running, you know, custom software on top of it, there will be updates coming to it, and I imagine it's going to be similar to what we're seeing on the Pixel phones, is that you get feature drops that are going to continue happening as time goes forward. So I think it's a next major platform for Google, and I hope that they don't add it to the killed by Google pile too soon. I hope that it has a long future ahead of it, given that it's a $500 tablet. It is running the latest Tensor processor, so it should have the hardware inside. It should have the tech to be able to handle, you know, at least two or three years, maybe, of major updates and performance. But, you know, people generally not buying $500 devices too frequently. That being said, their new phone is $1,800, so maybe Google pricing is just like, yeah, who the hell cares? You know, charge whatever we want. We'll see. All right. Well, I guess that's our show. We've made it all the way through to the end here. Not a whole lot of news things. I know I promised last week that I would do more news article updates, but I haven't actually gone through and found a whole lot of them. So you get a light news week here, but me babbling on for a while about the tablet instead. So we'll see what comes out. We got some things that we were already seeing coming out this week for next week's episode. So stay tuned. Once again, thank you to Jamf for sponsoring us. If you wanted that domain again, it's just jamf.com/workspace recap. And I'm going to shut up now. So that's all for this week. Send us your questions and comments on Twitter and on Workspace at Workspace Recap and on our website, workspacerecap.com. Subscribe, thumbs up, give us a review, put your comments online, wherever, etc. You know what to do. Thanks for sticking with us every week. We'll see you next time on Workspace Recap.